The return of turbulence on the stock market and a look at the surplus military gear available to police departments. I'm David Brancaccio. The stock market had a big drop yesterday, the biggest since March. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday fell by more than 1,800 points, 6.9%. The NASDAQ fell 5.3%, this in a week when that NASDAQ reached an all-time high. Some say it was the Federal Reserve Chair's grim economic briefing midweek about the effects of COVID lingering. Others say it's all the uncertainties about the COVID economy piling on. Drew Mattis is Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management.
Given everything that's going on and how little we know about, you know, how this is all going to play out as we head into the fall and whether there's going to be any sort of second wave, there's a lot more risk out there than there used to be. You need to know the risks that you're taking, and you need to know how much risk you are willing to take before you begin to think about all those things.
Yeah, it's just stark to hear you say it, Drew. There is much more risk than we used to have. That is the era we live in.
Well, look, almost everyone on Wall Street works on Wall Street because they didn't go to medical school. And even if they went to medical school, most likely they're not an epidemiologist. So, you know, trying to predict how things are going to evolve based on something that is, you know, really heavily dependent on something you're not an expert on, it makes for a challenging environment. And that means that you have to be humble and recognize what you do and do not know.
Drew Mattis is the Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Always good to talk to you.
Good talking with you, David.
I will say this morning, the seeds of a reversal, the Dow future is up 508 points, 2% now. Because of social distancing rules in North Carolina, a big part of the Republican National Convention this summer is moving from Charlotte to Jacksonville, Florida. Thousands of attendees and millions of dollars will go south. But will the coronavirus follow? Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
North Carolina's governor and the GOP could not come to terms over social distancing measures. President Trump insisted on a capacity crowd for his acceptance speech. Tens of thousands of people were expected in Charlotte this August for the Republican National Convention. Now attendees there will number only in the hundreds, conducting one day of business while the main convention takes place in Florida. Charlotte was expecting the convention to pump more than $150 million into the local economy. In Jacksonville, the post-pandemic convention will look a lot like the pre-pandemic one. No masks required of attendees, nor social distancing. There will be health and temperature checks. Among the hurdles Jacksonville had to overcome was the lack of hotel space downtown near its 15,000 capacity arena. Some people will have to stay about 20 miles away at two beachside communities. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers wants to change or repeal a Clinton-era measure that lets police departments get surplus military hardware and supplies. It's called the 1033 program, an outgrowth of the military's counter-narcotics role started in the 1990s, the war on drugs. And police departments, in part from their role in counterterrorism after 9/11, have availed themselves of ammunition, armored vehicles, blankets, computers, and much more, all for the cost of shipping. The program was scaled down during the Obama administration, but is being reconsidered again amid calls for rethinking policing in America. Sabrina Karim, a professor of government at Cornell University, studies this. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So the idea is the Pentagon bought this stuff originally for the military, doesn't need it anymore, and can give it to local police departments. And it's not just flashlights. Some of this is pretty heavy-duty stuff.
That's right. So we have everything from office equipment, clothing, tools, radios, but then we have some pretty heavy-duty things. So things like armored vehicles, assault rifles, grenades, and something called a mine-resistance ambush-protected vehicle, which was invented basically by the DOD as a counterinsurgency strategy to be able to fight IED attacks in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so what do you do with the excess MRAPs that were built? Well, one solution was to transfer about 600 of these to local law enforcement agencies through this program.
And those vehicles, were not seen as an unqualified success when originally deployed by the military. I mean, first of all, they were fuel hogs, I remember.
Yes, so they're inefficient in terms of fuel, as well as inefficient in their counterinsurgency purpose, because they're big vehicles that basically prevent soldiers from being able to interact with the community. And so I'm not quite sure that they would be effective in local law enforcement when the job of the police is to be able to engage with the community.
And even school districts can be eligible for this military surplus. Schools.
They can be, yes. So you just have to be a law enforcement agency. And basically that means that school police officers, as well as college campus police officers, as well as even state park officers are eligible to receive some of this equipment.
And at this moment in U.S. history, you're seeing more calls to reevaluate this whole program?
We are. And so we have two things going on here. We have very broad participation. There's more news coverage. And so people are seeing for the first time just how militarized the police force is. And this militarization is, you know, contributing potentially to the higher rates of violence that we're seeing kind of more ubiquitously in this particular movement that's happening right now. I'll also say that militarized policing is not just specific to the response to protests, but also it's kind of everyday policing. So you see things like the no-knock raids that killed Breonna Taylor. And I think that the 1033 program is an enabler, but not necessarily the direct cause.
Sabrina Karim is an assistant professor of government at Cornell. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And recapping the stock market, after the Dow fell 1,861 points yesterday, 6.9%, a bit of a rebound this morning. The Dow future is up about 2% now. The 10-year Treasury yield is down slightly. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.